Hello and welcome back to our second week in a row. You guys, who are we? Excuse me, that dare I say this is going to be consistent? No, I wouldn't dare put that pressure on myself. And if you know, but I truly, honestly do want to be consistent. I also, on the flip side of things, have been listening to Crime Junkie, Case Files, and my absolute favorite, Morbid. And I want to find, I'm going to figure out something because I love to kind of like dig in and do things myself. I probably should get better at asking for help, but I just kind of want to, you know, find a cute little musical intro that's simple. Why will I create that myself? Because your girl's on a budget with these types of things. And although I love doing this for, a living, not the podcast. Oh my God, doing the podcast for a living would be righteous, but doing social media, which is cool too, for a living, I don't quite have that extended budget for hiring of photographers, for hiring of like audio people, and for hiring of all that stuff. So I am like a do-it-yourself kind of girl. I'm like, all right, we're going to YouTube this, we're going to figure it out, and we're going to do it. So who knows when that is coming, but I promised myself this year, okay, because we're going to give ourselves a timeline that's realistic. 2022 is our year for a little intro music, just to like put some pep in our step. And it's going to have to be good because the commitment level for me to add something onto an episode that's literally every episode with the way I change my style, mind, hair, makeup, music choices, that's a commitment, okay? I also am filming this fun little like sound vlog on TikTok. So at the end of this, I think I just might film it while you'll hear the song that's going to be. I think I might just film it while I'm doing it. So it's like I'm, you know, recording my podcast and I actually am recording the podcast, but we'll see. I hope that you are having a wonderful Friday. My God, you guys, we made it to this week. There's a lot going on in our life right now with the tiny humans that I'm just not able to share. And I'm not saying that to be ominous or like, oh my God, you guys, there's so much going on. But, you know, everything that I do with their privacy in mind. And so when I share about them, it's been pre-approved, which is why, you know, in the very beginning of my Instagram, not my TikTok, but my Instagram, I probably shared a couple more like mom stories, which of course were lovely. But, you know, London had come to me at one point, and when I was just doing Insta, I hadn't done TikTok yet. I was just doing Insta. And she was like, kind of embarrassed you told people that. And I was like, what? And this is back when your girl had like 600 followers. Okay. So this wasn't like insane, like whatever, but I had shared this cute story that I thought was so adorable, and London was embarrassed by it. So I had just promised myself that, you know, they get a veto. Okay. And that's how we roll. But when I am able to share more about them in what's been going on and just like changes for us in 2022, I will be 100% be telling you, because I feel as though sharing that parenting journey is really important. There's a lot of topics y'all want me to cover this year. You want me to talk marriage? I'm going to be doing it. You want me to talk going back to work after baby? I'm going to be covering that. Side note, I cleaned this weekend and found a journal I wrote, like maybe 5 pages, because that's how we know my consistency level, okay? But journal entries that I wrote from when I was pregnant with London and realized I had to go back to work and couldn't be home with her. And this was never something I had thought about. I will be sharing that. I will be sharing a couple journal entries because that Amanda was really like, she was in it. She was so in it. And I just remember I found that this weekend and I was like, oh my gosh, like I was gutted that I could not be home with London. And like I always say, it wasn't until 2 years ago that I got to be fully working from home in this capacity where I wasn't working from home virtually for a, you know, company I telecommuted for managing people, that I was responsible to someone. Whereas now I'm responsible to myself and the brands that I decide to partner with, where I have more control over my schedule. But she was gutted by this experience, that version of me. And the empathy I felt for her in reading that, I was like, oh my God, like it was right back in it. And y'all also want me to talk about boundaries with family and parents and how you navigate that. And like, let's just disclaim this episode. I am not an authority on anything. I'm not a doctor. I have no degree in children. you are just living this journey of life with me together, and we're talking about it. And the reason we're talking about it is because when I was a person navigating life, honestly, college, high school, motherhood, marriage, I just wished I had a friend that I could hear from. Experience. Why are we gatekeeping experiences, budgeting, fighting, marriages? Why is that? Why does it feel like it's gatekeeped? Okay. Why does it feel like it's literally kind of made up and like put out as something it's not? So what topic are we diving into today? Well, you know what? I just like to spin that wheel, right? We're spinning that wheel. What are we talking about today? What are we talking about? What feels most relevant? What feels like it's going to be there? And I always kind of just sit. I always say a prayer before. And whenever I'm doing the podcast, I always just sit in silence and I wait. Because truly, I feel very, you know, I feel led in a way. My spirit just says to me, this is where we're going to go today. And I always feel like that's where we're meant to go. So when I was sitting quietly today, I wanted to talk about feeling ill-equipped when it comes to being a parent. And I think this mindset where we've gotten into kind of, and we may segue from this, you know, hoping for the best, expecting the worst, or really kind of alleviating the isolation that we might feel with humor. And I don't know how much that always, you know, and I do that. I alleviate stuff with humor. I work through trauma with humor, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I feel as though something that's really important to realize is when you get into this world of identities, and there's different seasons of that, right? The identity of I'm 18 and I'm going to college now and I should know what I'm doing. Or I'm 22, 23, or however I am, I'm graduating college with a degree. This is what I'm going to be doing. I have such security and knowledge and confidence in this decision. Or I've gotten married and everything is planned. Like these different seasons of identities we take on, student, college graduate, employee, husband, wife, partner, mother, father, grandmother, like these identities that we take on that say to us, oh, you're in this position now. You obviously know what you're doing. And you're sitting there going, I have not one freaking clue what's going on here. I will pretend I do. I'll do the song and dance. The house feels like it's burning down around me, but everybody else knows what they're doing. So if I don't know what I'm doing, I'm obviously the outcast. I mean, tell me you have not lived that before, because I feel like I live that every moment of my day. I feel as though, and it's funny to me because when I'm sharing on TikTok, I'm literally sharing what I'm doing, throwing it out there like, hey, y'all, this is what I'm doing. Don't know what else everybody else is doing, but here's something I learned. Like, because I just feel like there needs to be like cookie crumbs of some sort for something you want to do. And some people look at my cookie crumbs and they go, you're an idiot. I don't like your crumbs at all. Boo, tomato, tomato. If you're on TikTok, you know. And then some people look at my breadcrumbs and they're like, oh my gosh, you're so amazing. How do you know everything? And I'm like, I don't have a clue. And then there's people who are like, okay, well, this is all right. Let's try this out. We'll see what's happening, right? And I'm sure there are more categories, but this is the category, okay? And the real truth of the matter is, with everything that's been going on in the last 2.5 years, and oh my gosh, can I tell you the anxiety when I say that? Because everyone gets so dogmatic when you bring up anything in the last 2 years. You could literally be like, I feel like lemonade is great. And they're like, oh, you like the lemons? What kind of lemons? Are you a Meyer lemon? And you're like, oh my God, I just want to like lemonade. Okay. Can I tell you the amount of anxiety that I had to work through in therapy because posting anything felt like I had to think through every case scenario of how someone might misinterpret, misunderstand, offend someone, say the wrong thing, you know, like it was crippling. So in 2022, we are living with the idea that we are always sitting in a place of learning. And when we do, we are open to it. We're going to do our best. And I always tell my girls, give God the rest. And when we find an opportunity to learn or a mistake to own up to, we will step up and do that. But we cannot be responsible to never make a mistake. It's just not what learning is about. Learning means you make a mistake and you learn. That is the best way to learn. So that is the energy that we are going to try and take into every moment of this year. Be kind and aware with our words. Be sitting in a place of learning, ready to learn, but not sitting there crippled, because you cannot be perfect. You're never going to make the perfect thing. You're never going to be the perfect parent, the perfect student. It is what it is. So to dig into today, I want us to talk about this idea that we think everybody around us knows what they're doing. Can I tell you right now, and I've said this, there's a lot of different change that's going on with our kind of situation with the kids and stuff like that in 2022. And it feels big to me because it's my life and it's my tiny humans. It might not be big to other people. People might be like, oh, that's a general decision about life. And I'm like, okay. But I have just never felt more unprepared. I've never felt more unqualified to be directing any part of someone's life or making decisions for somebody's life. I look at my girls who rely on me and trust me and believe that I know exactly what's going on. And I feel like it's so important to tell them I don't. Because I think this idea that everybody knows that what they're doing stems from beyond our parents, beyond our parents' parents, beyond our parents' 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 parents, okay? And it is this idea that we grow up as tiny people ourselves. And if you're like me, you grew up in a house where you just, they're the adult. They have so much knowledge that I don't have. When I get to that place in life, I will have all this knowledge that they have. I will obviously be able to make decisions like they do. Look at them making such confident decisions, right? Thought that they were all informed. And then you reach that place and you're waiting for this. And I've talked about this before. You're waiting for this miraculous like dump of knowledge. Like, oh, the world makes sense. I have my life plan. And you're literally sitting there like, no, I have anxiety when I go to order coffee. What is that about? You know, my mom drank an Americano, black coffee, like, oh my God, the woman drank straight black coffee every day of her life and she never thought about it. She never did lattes. She never like added, like, I have a black coffee, thank you. Like, boom, 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 decision made, decision done. She had the confidence that I just expected arrived. And then I got to college and changed my major five times. Five times, you guys. And do you want to know why I changed my major five times? Because I was constantly like, oh, okay, so this is what I should be doing. Oh, okay, so this is what I should be doing. Instead of telling people to pick a major their freshman year, which I understand, goes to scholarships, goes to what you're going to be doing, right? I think that every first year should just like literally take one of each class. Like pick five things that interest you, okay? Like five things that are going to interest you at all. And go ahead and take those classes. Take a psychology class. Take a communications class. Take, you know, a freaking science class if you want to. Because it's very rare to find someone that knows exactly what they're doing. And I would say to you, if you do have people in your life who go in knowing exactly what they want to do, I would say, where does that come from? Some people, they have a passion for it. Some people, their parents have told them what they'd be good at, and that's why they're doing it. And there's nothing wrong with either of those scenarios. It's just you should not take ownership of the fact that you feel less than for not knowing. Okay. Then we work our way through college. Okay. Fumbling, right? Because I didn't have my life together and know what I wanted to do. And then I got out with this degree, and I always get asked what my degree is. It's interpersonal and organizational communications. It is basically the psychology of how people talk to each other in the workplace and in relationships. So we studied interpersonal communication. We studied conflict management. We studied how men communicate, how women communicate, what that verbiage looks like. Paralanguage, which is the pitch and sound of how people talk, body language. We talked all the communication. It was the best thing I ever did for myself. I absolutely loved my major. I would not trade it for the world. But I got out of college and was like, what the hell do you do with this major? And the only answer I got was HR. And the HR was literally the last thing I wanted to do with my life. I think that some people are super gifted at it. Doing HR, hiring, super fun. Firing, never fun. Dealing with conflict in the workplace on a daily basis, for whatever reasons they are, or dealing with really hard issues in the workplace, I do not have the capacity for that. Not a chance. So I had no idea what I was doing. So I got in retail, which everyone thought was absolute trash. the way that I was treated for working in retail, and actually you can make really good money in retail if you don't care about holidays and weekends or late nights and like a ridiculous amount of overtime. You can make good money. And if you don't know what else to do, it's a decent place to start. But it was so annoying because everyone treated me like I was in some way literally less than for working retail. Oh, you work retail. Oh, that's cool. Like I always tell the story of how the one girl asked me, like I mentioned college, and she literally yells to her dad across the store, "Dad, dad." And he comes over and she's like, "Dad, she has a college degree. I told you people in work retail are smart." And I just stood there at the register thinking like, wow, okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Let me ring you up now. Okay, let me just ring you up for your luxury bag that your dad assumed I like was not capable. Like it was just such a time, you guys. And then when I would go to apply for other jobs, everyone would look at my resume and be like, "Oh, you've only worked in retail." I was like, "Yeah, well, the economy was collapsing while I was trying to get a job, but people were still shopping. So I don't know what you want me to tell you." And then, of course, I got pregnant, and being in retail was not conducive to the life that I wanted. Now, some of my friends rocked working retail with kids. Like, they had it down to a science, and they thrived. And I was there for that energy. They kept me going. They kept me going, hearing them, listening to them, them cheering me on, right? But I was determined to find a new way to get home. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know how I was going to get. I was determined, right? Then I ended up in some office jobs, and then it felt like the world opened up and smiled, and I fell into this position where I could work from home. So I wasn't paying for childcare, right? Which I didn't have to do, which I was super fortunate, very fortunate. That like becoming a mom was a whole journey because I thought my mom always knew everything and she didn't. And I felt super ill-equipped. And so I say all of that to kind of get to the main point of what we're going to talk about. And that is the fact that like in the last few years, navigating life before pandemic was insane, feeling like you had any idea. Now I just feel like the ability to make a decision feels like why plan? Why plan at all? First off, I have planning anxiety. Secondly, I have what will happen tomorrow anxiety, right? Just the inability to be sure of. And I think that what that reveals is this flaw in life where we think that we actually can be sure of anything. Do you know what I mean? Now, does that mean like when I got married, I was like, well, not sure this will work? Absolutely not. I am sure that I will give my marriage everything I've ever got, my last dying breath. But that doesn't account for curveballs that the world could throw. Job losses, issues. I don't like to throw things out into the world like that are negative. So I'm not going to name off all the things in the world that could go wrong, right? But I think that what it has taught me and reminded me of is how seemingly fragile the idea of certainty is. And how when we operate on this idea that we have to be certain of all things, or that we have to know all things or be in control of all things, we are just playing ourselves. Like we're literally playing ourselves because that's just not a guarantee. And I don't think that that means that we can't hope for things. And I don't think that that means we should expect the worst. But I think that it means that we should not put this pressure on ourselves to be so sure. And we should give ourselves the grace to change our mind. Now, I'm not going to go into detail, and this is a story for another time. But recently, I stopped taking Corey to pre-K. She goes to pre-K. She went it was full days because her sisters and I couldn't drive to pick her up early or whatever, but 3 days a week. And recently, I pulled her. It was a decision I made. It was a decision several people disagreed with for a variety of reasons, but it was a decision that I felt as her person I needed to advocate for. Okay, it's preschool. All right, let's be honest. Now, TK next year, that's going to be helpful for her in kindergarten, and we will reassess when we get there. But taking her from pre-K this year, because I had the ability to do that and stay home with her and kind of supplement what she might need, that was a decision that I made for her that I was not sure of, and I'm still not sure of, and I still have questions about it, and I'm still worried, did I make the right decision? Did I make the wrong decision? And I still have this judgment from all these people. But I did it because I understood that there's not anything that I can be positive of, but what I can do is assess what I'm seeing in her, and what I'm seeing in her is not beneficial for her. It's not helping her. It's rising her anxiety. And people can say what they want. I am very, very, very big on advocating for your kids and what they are telling you with their behavior and what they are telling you with their questions and their emotions. And I think that writing it off to being small, or writing it off to being emotional, or writing it off at any age is a misstep. It doesn't mean that we let into every inclination. We do the measuring scale. I was tagged in this amazing video where this woman talked about how she felt respectful, gentle parenting, whatever, was doing a disservice to our kids being able to manage their emotions. And she talked about her bummers. Well, in our house, we use what I call the finger scale. So it has three sizes. It has a little small, tiny one. It has a big, a little medium one that has a big one, right? And whenever the girls are experiencing emotion, I validate them. I am so sorry you're upset. Okay, all right, dude, I feel your energy right now. Like, I say whatever I say to them, and they say, where are we right now? Okay, where do you feel? Okay, where do you actually think this lands? Because I want to validate their emotions. I also want to teach them how to manage them. So yes, there are emotions that our kids have, and big emotions, and we can't, quote unquote, as like people like to say, indulge, right? Indulge every emotion, right? Ugh. Anyways. But there are things that I said as a person for me, maybe it's not in that house. Maybe that parent wouldn't do it. Maybe that teacher doesn't agree, but I'm the parent and I cannot be certain of things. But the one thing that I am certain of is right now, this is not a fit in this moment. I am certain of that. And that might change because I love her teachers immensely. Her teachers are incredible people. It's nothing like personal with that. It is Corey's experience right now and what her behavior and things were telling me. And like I said, I am a big respecter of the girl's privacy. And eventually when I can elaborate on it, maybe I will. But until this kind of plays itself out, I'm just not a person that, you know, shares that when she's still kind of navigating stuff. But that's the crazy thing. And that's kind of like when I talked about last episode, how I'm working on my inner child and stuff like that. It's kind of funny how people want to make it seem like it all has to be all or nothing, right? Like I can't dress as this classic styled mom one day or this athleisure mom the other day. And I use clothing because clothing is so, I think it's very non-confrontational for the most part. And you can't do certain things, right? I can't do, oh, because that's the rule. Well, who made the rule? Okay. Who made the rule? And it's funny because as a parent, and I've said this in so many different episodes, I really started to question that when a few years back when I was like, wait a second, London asked me this question in the car. And I was like, oh, well, because she's like, well, who made the rule? And I'm like, girl, I don't even know. I don't even know where it came from. I don't even know why that's a staple. And this idea of certainty, okay, because honestly, the only thing that I'm certain of for me personally, is I'm grateful for Jesus. I am certain of Jesus. And that doesn't mean that I haven't ever had those times where I'm like, Lord, I feel doubtful. I'm confused. What is going on? And it's not like he comes down and audibly answers me. Okay. Sometimes I feel as though he's guiding me. But the one thing I am certain of is his love for me. And I cannot tell you how nice it feels when you are backed into a corner of life. And this is, again, this is my personal journey. You don't have to own this. And I understand that so many people have, I don't like to call them Jesus wounds. They have wounds from people that were supposed to represent Jesus, because Jesus is not out to wound us, okay? But I am so grateful that when I make decisions like I do sometimes, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself in my car, I'm sorry, I have three kids? Wait, I'm responsible for three people's lives? Wait, I have to make this type of decision for another human being? And I feel people's judgment on stuff, and I can feel people's disagreements or people's agreements, which is sometimes confusing, right? I am so grateful that at the end of the day, I'm like, well, God, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. This I know. It is the one thing that I am certain of. But in a world of uncertainty, and a lack of stability in the last 2 years, I just feel as though you need to count yourself with some grace. I feel like there's being a lot asked of people. I see it with my friends who work in the medical field who are exhausted. I see it with my friends who are teachers who are exhausted. I see it with my friends who work in the service industry who are exhausted. Everyone, I think, unknowingly kind of has, we have a little chip on our shoulder, even myself. I'll tell you what, let me tell you an experience I had yesterday. I'm in my car. I'm on the phone with my girlfriend, Cindy. We're chatting about stuff. And I am driving. I get to a stoplight and I see this car flagging me. Now, I will just want it noted, earlier in the day, someone cut me off and then flipped me off. Why? I don't have a clue. I was driving the speed limit. Obviously, it was not fast enough. And don't worry, I was in the lane that you're supposed to drive the speed limit where you go putt-putt, not the lane where you're like zooming, okay? Because I was about to get off the freeway. And I'm sitting at this stoplight and I'm on the phone and I'm distracted on my AirPod. Don't worry. Again, prefacing, not my actual phone. I'm not on my phone while driving. And I see this woman roll her window down and she's like motioning to me. And I see it out the corner of my eye. And to be honest, I immediately feel fear. I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Did I do something? Like, and I start questioning what is happening, what is going on, because I'm on the defense. Immediately my guard goes up. And I look over and she's, and I'm like looking at her and I kind of like give this like, you know, the Joey, I smell something face, like, huh? Like what? I'm like, because I don't want to give a dirty look, but I don't want to give a happy look if she's pissed at me, right? So she's like motioning for me to roll down her window. And I see that she has a teenager with her. So I feel like a little more comforted by that. So I roll down my window and I'm like waiting. And like, I like take a deep breath. Okay. Totally took a deep breath. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm in the wrong lane. Can I get over? And I couldn't hear. So I pull out my little AirPod and I go, because I had one of them in, but it was the one to the window. And I told Cindy, I'm like, hold on a second. Because she was still talking. And I pull it out and I'm like, what? And she goes, can I get over? And I said, oh, in front of me? Oh, of course. Yeah, go ahead. No big deal. But can I tell you the level of fear and guard that I had up? Because I was uncertain, right, of what was happening. And that fear led me to this place of defense where I had my defenses up. And does anybody else feel like in the last few years, especially, your immediate reaction is to go on the defense? The same thing happened a couple of weeks ago. Someone left a comment on one of my videos and the comment seemed super rude. And immediately I was just going to be like, make a response video. And I don't usually do this, but I was going to make a response video. And I'd be like, you guys, we just need to be kind. See this comment here? Like, we can't be doing this to each other, right? But then I don't like to do that and call out people, because the people who love you, like sometimes they go and they want to defend you. And while I love the like pull up, like loyalty mentality, I didn't want that. So I just simply typed out, I'm not sure what you mean. And I asked that question. And she came back with this really like, oh yeah, sorry, that sounded off. Here's what I meant. And I sat there when I got the response to the comment like an hour later. And I thought to myself, oh my Lanta, if I had made that video, right? And been like, you guys, we need to be kind. See this rude comment here? Oh my God, blah, 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 right? If I had done that, gut reaction, knee jerk immediately, boom, boom, boom. What would that have done for her? How would that have affected her mentality, her experience? What would that have made her feel? Oh my gosh, attacked? Unsure of why Amanda would do that. Like in a world where you're promoting kindness, what is that about? And that's not to mean that people who promote kindness are great all the time. Y'all, I have my days, okay? Don't act like I cannot act like I don't have my days. I don't want you guys out here acting like I don't have bad days, because there have been times I have been straight R-U-D-E to people, rude. And it always comes from when I'm triggered, and it comes from this place of defense. And it comes from this place of being uncertain. And what I want to get to is the fact that when you feel in this uncertain thing, you might feel more apt to be judged. You might be more on your guard. When if we just remove that, right, and we just say nothing is certain when it comes to certain things, and we start with the question, right, because 2022 is about doing the best, right? But being in a place of learning and open to questions, it frees us up. It's like when you get out of high school and you realize that when you were sitting at the lunch table thinking everybody was staring at you and making fun of you, everyone was sitting at their lunch table thinking everyone was staring at them and making fun of them. And that's not to say that they weren't sitting there making fun of you, because frankly, there were times when people were sitting there making fun of me. But what it is to say is that that experience does not create the standard necessarily. It just doesn't. And the scary fact that I think we have to come to grips with is that if you look to your right and your left, even the most certain person is uncertain of so many things. And when you can kind of realize that and share that experience, it kind of humanizes people for you. It kind of says, wait a second. As unsure as I feel with all the knowledge I am, how unsure do the people younger than me feel? How do my tiny humans feel? Because I can tell you right now, just kind of like the headline of why I took Corey out of pre-K is she was experiencing her own version of burnout. And I was watching it happen to her. And instead of writing it off as just someone who didn't like going to school or wanted to be with mommy or wanted to watch her own shows, instead of just writing it off, I took a look at it and talking to a friend who said, this year is not vital to anything for her. And if you're seeing that, you need to do what you think is best and screw people that think otherwise. And I don't mean screw people in a negative way. I mean, you're her advocate. If no one's going to cut her that slack, it's got to be you. And I think so often, and this makes me emotional too, I think so often of the older people in the world right now who might feel left behind or forgotten and the uncertainty that they're dealing with. And I think that, and I've said this so many times before in different episodes, that our question of what do you mean by that? So I don't know if I've phrased it like that in particular before, but I'll remember my therapist told us, and I don't know if I told this on the last episode, but my therapist told me, and Blake in our meeting, before you go on the defense, before your me starts to get involved with that we and starts to divide, ask your person, what do you mean by that? I'm talking a friend, I'm talking a partner, I'm talking a child in your life. When your child says something to you about something, before you go on the defense with rude, disrespectful, you don't understand, before we engage, what do you mean by that? Six words. Six words that I can tell you so many times in my life have changed the trajectory of a conversation and a relationship. Because what they mean by that, what you're hearing, first off, they could be completely different and could not be the same. Secondly, it may be an opportunity for you to help them with that and be like, dude, do you know how that sounded? Oh my, let's work on that. It's like when I tell my girls will say something to me and I will look at them and I'll be like, dude, I understand what you're saying, but the level which you said that, it had like a tone to it. It was kind of rude. And this probably comes from the fact that my degree is literally in communication of how you say things. So pitch and tone are everything to me. I feel like you can observe anything and everything someone needs to say from how they say it. But I think that that's also why it's so important to say, what do you mean by that? I'm sorry, what are you implying? Are you implying something? Because in a world that's so uncertain, how can we be certain that every situation is the same? We just can't. And I want to tell you today, if you are just feeling so unsure, there is no shame in that game. Someone DM'd me last week, and I'm not going to go into the conversation because it was private, and I don't know if they even want me sharing it, but they were having a question about their experience at college. And I just said to them, you know, here's my two cents about it. Here's what I see. Wait till the end of the semester and assess. And the reason I say that is because I think that it's important when we feel a certain way. There are some decisions that, yes, need to be made quickly, right? But there are some decisions where the situation itself actually won't let us make the decision for like a certain amount of time, right? Like you're under a timeline, either it's quick or it's not quick, right? And I am a believer in taking that time before you try speed up the timeline. Because I have never felt more unsure of so many things in my life. Things I am sure of: my husband and I, praise Jesus. That man is as steady as a rock. I love him immensely. We are gonna get him on here, okay? Secondly, I am sure of, thank God Jesus loves me, because I am an imperfect person and I just don't know. The other thing I am sure of is that I would jump in front of a freight train for the tiny humans in my life. And that I will continue to share what life and this journey is like if one person hears this and feels like we're having coffee. Because if you guys saw this week on Instagram, McDonald's, and TikTok actually, because I made the video on TikTok, McDonald's sent me a gift that meant more than I think anybody would ever know. They sent me this jacket. And this jacket that represented so much for me, and I shared in a follow-up TikTok video, you know, McDonald's is a fast food chain for so many people, and I get that, but McDonald's has also been there for different seasons in my life. It's been a constant, and there's several things like that in my life. Disneyland. Disney, I do not have one bad core memory at Disneyland. And two, with the way that life has played out, to have a place where I don't have one memory of an argument, one memory of a disappointment, it is absolutely sacred. So McDonald's sent this jacket and it was hugely impactful for me. And it felt like a hug, and it felt like a hug from beyond, because not having my mom here while I navigate motherhood is a freaking trip. It also is a double-edged thing, because it's actually helpful in the way that when you don't know what to do, you just do things differently, right? And so it leaves less room for me to be like, oh, my mom said to do this, this is what we're going to do, right? I kind of am like, well, I don't know. Like, let's assess how that worked out. And I'm not really offending anyone, because my dad was like, he worked so much. He's like, I know we did X, Y, Z. I mean, the man didn't even remember that I couldn't wear Converse in high school, right? But he knew that my mom bought me ripoff ones, because he sent me a picture that I used in a video that people literally were having a conniption over. You said you couldn't wear Converse. And I was like, y'all, first off, let's not look for the worst. Okay. This is all facts. Like, what is it? All facts, no printer. Anyways, I wore ripoff shoes from Payless. Okay. Could not wear the brand Converse in high school. Okay. But anyways, do you guys hear Corey? She just snuck up here. She was downstairs with Blake. But okay, I don't know if you can hear her. But the simple fact is that asking that question, those six words, it will provide a lot. And sitting in this place of being okay with being uncertain, it really frees you up. It frees you up a lot. It gives you kind of a breath. And I think it's important for me to say that, so you don't feel alone in it. And one day, man, you know the weird thing about life? Some days I feel like I'm on top of the world and crushing it. And other days I feel like I am literally unable to move, hide in my couch. What have I done with my life? I haven't actually gotten that far ahead. I'm actually back where I started. What an imposter. I was so happy yesterday, but look at me today. I'm not happy. I'm having a tough time. Ooh, you're such an imposter telling people to be like, the dialogue in my brain is just a place I don't really want people to have to live. But I share that all with you to say it's okay to be certainly uncertain. It's okay to feel like right now your guard is really up, but to remind yourself to not enter into every situation like that.
That's Corey flushing the toilet.
She's gonna, let's see if she washes her hands. I'm gonna wait to see if the water turns on. Anyways, I won't do that to her, put her on the spot. Anywho, but the thing is that I just want to remind you, student, parent, person, human being, we all have the title of human being, right? It's one thing we can all relate on. Being certainly uncertain is honestly, I think, just a state of being right now. And when you lean into that, and when you give yourself the grace to say, I don't have all the answers, and if everyone around me seems like they do, that's not a reflection of me. It's just my journey right now. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Nothing at all. I changed my major 5 times. People look at me and they see that I have 3 kids and they think that I must really have it figured out, and I still have no idea what I'm doing. But I know that I can share with you all. And I know that if I can share that with you and it provides anybody some level of comfort, that's good enough for me. I know this podcast is not some insane, like, I don't even know, top, like, because when you get in podcasting, people get really funky about it and they start asking all these questions. But to me, it's not about winning an award or being top 10 or being some podcaster on iTunes or being a top rated pod. Like, for me, this is a place for me to share with you and talk to you and have conversations and go through life together and share life with you. I also, oh my gosh, okay, I'm going to wrap it up, but I just have to tell you, I did not realize. So on Anchor, people can quote unquote support your podcast, which I didn't know was a thing because I thought that was like a Patreon thing. It's like subscriptions. And I found out when I was doing something, it's like, you have supporters. Okay, I just want to shout out Rachel and Madison. The fact that you felt like this podcast contributed in any way to monetarily contribute, which is in no way expected. I always say this on like TikTok lives and stuff. I'm like, you don't send gifts. Don't, like, this is my gift to you. This is my way of paying you back for the life that you've given me. This is my way to say thank you. But I just had to shout those two people out because the fact that that was a thing, I was like, stop it right now. Oh my gosh, I ran out there. I was like, Blake, 2 people subscribe to my podcast. Oh my God. Anyways, it was very exciting. But I just want to thank you for being here. I hope that this episode brought anything to your life. I don't know. Maybe it struck a thought. Maybe it made you comforted. Maybe it just made no sense and it sounded like me cracked out on caffeine today because my to-do list is long. Okay. I do need to drink some water on a side note. But I just want to tell you today, thank you for being here. And if no one has told you lately, you are loved. Well, I love you. First off, I love you. You are loved, you are valued, you have exponential and limitless potential. And I want you to say this to yourself. You matter. And I don't know if you feel like you don't right now, and now I feel led to say this, but if you ever need to hear this, if you're ever in a dark place, because babe, I've been there. I have been there. I've been surrounded by people yet completely alone. You matter. I am so grateful that you're here. There is nobody like you. You are a limited edition, one of a kind. I know Jesus thinks that, but if you're not a Jesus, if he's not your guy, which is cool, let me tell you, you are one of a kind and you are limited edition. Your DNA proves that. And don't even come at me with, oh, well, twins. Blah, blah. No. Your thumbprint proves there is nobody like you. And you are needed always. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. No matter what you did today, I loved doing it with you. I wish I could hug every single one of you. And one day I just imagine us being in a really big room together and sitting and talking. Not because I'm some informational person, but because we have spent time together. And one day I am telling you, we will get to be together and have that cup of coffee. I don't know how or when, but going to happen for us. So thank you for being here. Thank you for all you do. And I can't wait until next week. Bye.